Yo, I'm Chad.
And this is Eric.
And together we are...
Jumpman!
Oh, we're rolling in like the coach. The coach is coming, he's gonna get you.
The coach?
The coach, man. Jonathan Coachman.
Oh.
Yeah, old school. Circa 2002, WWE. The coach did this amazing heel turn, and then he got his own theme music, and it's like, the coach is coming, he's gonna whip you, look out, ladies, just slam you to the veterinarian's office.
You know he works at ESPN now, right?
Oh, yeah. He went legit. Yeah. But he was always a commentator like that, I think.
He'll still throw it to WWE every once in a while.
Of course. It's funny. I mean, like, you know, if you were, like, a regular sportscaster guy, and you could, like, play it up on WWE and become, like, a real character for a couple seasons.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
So it's Mother's Day.
Oh, yeah?
And I had some Mother's Day stuff I wanted to talk about. But first...
Oh?
I set a new record today.
Really?
Because, as you know, I like to run. I do half marathons every year. And, you know, mm-hmm. So I'll go on long distance runs, and so I'm gearing up for the Buffalo Half Marathon at Memorial Day weekend.
Okay.
And I set a new record today for most miles run while holding in a shit. And I've told, and this is, and I broke my own personal best, because I, you know, I've talked about this before, that like early on when I was doing this running, I didn't realize you should shit before you go on like a long run,
right?
Because it could kind of work its way out of you.
Mm-hmm.
And so then since then, you know, and so twice early on, I literally had to run into the woods and take shit, wipe my ass with leaves, and hope Farmer Brown didn't see me, and you know, call the cops, because then I'd get arrested and then I lose my job.
Kid shitting on my lawn again. Call the police officers.
Yeah, because you know, the people I work for, if you get arrested, you get fired. That's just the rule.
I mean, is it a crime though? I mean, like taking a dump on farm. I mean, like, he'd probably thank you. Be like, wow, you just helped my corn grow.
I said Farmer Brown, but it was a much worse place where I shit. But anyways, that was in the past. It was in the past. But every once in a while, you know, your body tricks you. And so this morning, before I went to run, I tried to take a shit. Nothing came out. I was like, oh, well, good. I'm all set.
Mm-hmm.
But then on the way to go running, I was like, I had to stop at the store, get some Gatorade, and I was like, shit, I haven't eaten anything for breakfast. And they had like a breakfast burrito there.
Oh, no.
With scrambled eggs, bacon, salsa. I even paid an extra 50 cents to get avocado.
Oh, that avocado's gonna come out.
And my thought was like, well, this is good because eggs are protein, and that will lend to my run because I was gonna do 10 miles today. So I was like, all right, this is good. But plus I tried the shit this morning, nothing came out, so I'm totally good. So I'm gonna do 10 miles, and I have to do 5 miles, turn around, and 5 miles back to the car. And I got like 2 miles in, and you know, when you run, you gotta fart every once in a while. And so I let out a fart, and it was one of those like farts where it's like you start the ice cream machine and air pops out for a second, and then actual ice cream comes out.
Oh no, sharted.
No, I didn't shart.
Okay.
But the fart started the machine, and you can't stop the machine once it starts. And I was like, "What the fuck?
Man.
What the fuck is this? I'm only 2 miles in, but I was, you know, I can't cancel this run. I need the workout." So I'm like, "No, it'll be fine." So I'm running, and I, like I said, I gotta go 5, turn around. So I was like, "Don't worry about it. Just go 5 and turn around. Just focus on the 5." But but as I'm running, it's working its way through my system, fucking fast.
Oh my God, the avocado.
We're talking like faster than one of the alien chest splitters in the aliens, like, Aliens versus Predator, because those ones are fast. That they incubated in like a second.
Well, I bet the pred alien had some avocado hanging out in his alien baby maker.
So it's fucking tough, dude. Like, I mean, everyone here has a moment where they had the shit, but I'm sure you're able to get to a bathroom soon. I was in the middle of nowhere, not even close to a bathroom, a car, or anything. I hit that 5 miles and turned around. I was like, oh, it's coming.
It's coming.
Like, I was like, oh my God, I'm fucking 5 miles away from my car.
Oh, man. The faster
you run, the worse you have to shit.
Ugh.
But the slower you go, the longer it takes to get to the bathroom. What do you do? And so it's just like, you just got to like fucking mind over bladder kind of thing. You just have to like go to your zen place. You have to like think about anything else. You have to like calm yourself down.
You're like, yes, yes, the asshole and I are one.
And the whole time I'm going past this woodsy area, and I'm like, oh my god, I could probably shit there, but it'd be so obvious if I came out of there and there's like no trespassing signs posted everywhere. I was like, I'm gonna get caught with my pants down taking a shit.
No, dude, you need to wipe your butt with one of those no trespassing signs. I mean, it doesn't say do not take a dump.
Well, anyways, I don't need to get fired over this. So I was just like, fuck it, suck it up. I kind of turned it into like a pride thing when I only had a couple miles left to go. Instead of the dreading having to poop, I was just like, I was turning into like an adrenaline woman. Like, yeah, look at that. Look what you're doing. This is amazing. This is amazing. So technically my record now is 8 miles holding in a shit because wow. I didn't have to poop until the first 2 miles were done. So 8 miles holding in a shit. I bet you can't. No one can break that record.
Yo,
nor should you try.
You should go on Record Setter and put that as an actual world record.
Well, you have to videotape it the whole time.
Oh.
That's the only way Record Setter works.
I bet they would accept it if it was something nasty like guys, I taped it, but do you really want to see like my like the ass cam while I'm running for 5 miles?
All these dicks were riding by on bikes, and I just want to like knock them off the bike and be like, I need this. I'll give it back, I promise. Give me your damn bike. Everyone's like, hey, how's it going? Yep, just biking by you, heading towards the bathroom faster than you.
Oh, man.
So I set a record today.
I think it's quite all right. You know, marathons and the Olympics have shown me that, like, it's okay to poop yourself you're running. Because it happens. It just happens.
It does happen, but it's never okay.
I mean, it's not, like, a great thing, but, like, you know, like, I think, like, if somebody saw you, like, with like diarrhea running down your leg as you're running, they would be like, oh, it's that, instead of like, oh my god, fire that man.
No, you're wrong. And to prove it, you should just go do it and see how you feel about it.
I will. I mean, it happens in New York City more often than you think.
Yeah. So anyways, it's Mother's Day. I'll be fucking and sucking and touching. It's Mother's Day. And I wanted to talk about a couple of Mother's Day things.
Yeah, that was a song by Blink-182. In case you think Eric is weird.
Yes. Well, yes, you're right on both counts.
Yeah. Well, true.
So I was thinking about something we could tell about our mom, and then I was, because there's four of us siblings, and I was thinking of some stories and stuff, and then I thought about the opposite, and I was like, you know, obviously. There's four of us, so clearly mom and dad got it on.
Oh, my.
A lot. But there was, at some point, there was four of us. So, like, when did they find time to bang?
I'll tell you if you ask.
I mean, we had the one, I mean, like, we figured it out. Like, we had a treehouse, and we used to go over, in the summertime, we used to go and sleep over into the treehouse. And eventually, they were like, take all four of you. Mm-hmm. All four of you need to go and sleep overnight in the treehouse. And don't so we know. Back. They were banging hard in the house when we all slept in the treehouse. Sometimes we didn't even want to sleep in the treehouse. So like, no, treehouse, now. So clearly, you know, now that we're adults, we can think back to this. And, you know, I figured if we thought really hard, maybe we can think of other times that they were banging that we probably should have realized but didn't because we were dumb kids.
I didn't, you know, I had this awful realization.
Yes, those are the
last year.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe it was before then, but, like, I was there, Eric. I was there when our little brother Jared was actually conceived, and I didn't know it until later.
Were we camping?
No.
Okay.
No, it was just like a regular old night in the middle of the night or whenever it was, but like I had the flu. And the first night of the flu, I woke up and I didn't know what time it was, probably because I didn't know time then. It was 5 years old. Or no, probably four. It was one of my earliest memories. I wake up and I have a super fever and my brain is boiling and I like had woken up in my own vomit, you know, and I like, and my bedroom's on the second floor of our old house. So I'm kind of like crying for a while. Nothing's happening. So I like, get up and I kind of wander downstairs and it's dark, and dark is really scary because we live out in the middle of nowhere and there's no lights on in the house.
Yep.
Thanks, Dad. And I make my way down to the parents' door, which was you know, this is the only door that locks.
Okay.
They would lock the front door, but not their own door. Yeah. So
The other way around.
Or excuse me, yeah. They would leave the front door unlocked and open sometimes, but they would lock their own door.
Yep.
But they didn't lock at that time. And I opened the door, and I was kind of like, and opened the door and walked in, and there was Dad pounding Mom, pounding. And I was just like absorbed in my own, like having a fluness and having a fever. And I was like, and I look over and I'm like, Dad. And he's like, Jack, get out of here. And I'm like, oh, but I'm sick. He's like, wait in the bathroom. like Liam Neeson growling voice, and I was like, oh man. And I don't know, as a kid you don't have any imagination about like what's happening. I was just like, something was happening. And yeah, a year or two ago I realized, oh my god, that was when Jared was being conceived. And it totally interrupted my parents doing it. And of course, yeah, that was probably like a limp moment for everybody involved. Be like, oh man, you gonna go get him? Let's give him 5 minutes.
How much longer? How much time elapsed before they came out to check on you?
Yeah, well, he didn't. Dad didn't come out immediately with like a raging hard on or anything to come see if I was okay. No, they probably thought it was fine to hang out in the bathroom for 10 minutes in agony while they finished up. I don't know. It was terrible. It's just burned into my brain. It's just one of those things where like you just can't. It's like seeing something horrible on the internet. You just can't like, ever not remember it.
Right.
Ugh. I saw it, you, Jared. I saw it. You were a glimmer in his eye. You were like swimming around in his sack.
I think that like once a year they would take us to a hotel.
That's right.
During winter vacation time. Their parents, our grandparents, they'd usually give them like, I don't know, like a couple hundred bucks, and that was like for us to all enjoy. Mm-hmm. And they would spend it by taking us to the Sheraton Hotel, which it's in the middle of the wintertime. It's all snow, and they had an indoor pool. So we're like, yes. So I think they totally banged then, because didn't they start putting us in an adjoining room?
Yeah, well, yeah. They would put all of us kids on one bed, and then they would take the bed in the next room.
Yeah. So yeah,
it happened.
So that was definitely going on there.
Oh, man.
It's now, kind of funny. I mean, it's gross. It's gross that we're even talking about, but it's funny because it's like, now that you're an adult, you have to really hold a microscope to your childhood, and then you realize all these Easter eggs come out that you just didn't think about. You know, like, yep. I've talked about this on the podcast last October when I was almost kidnapped.
Right.
You know, as a second grader and didn't even realize it. So it's kind of fun to go back. Like, I can tell you right now, there's four times where I should have died as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just crazy now that I'm a parent. It freaks me out a little bit.
Yeah, now that I'm a parent, I'm like, Dad, what the hell were you thinking?
I should have died so many times as a kid.
I mean, you know, there's like this image that's going around like Facebook and social media that has like this kid on a big wheel launching off a ramp. And it's like, man, when I was a kid, people didn't give a shit and I turned out fine. So why do parents today take all the fun out of childhood? And I'm thinking like, no, dude, we almost died. We almost became one of those tragedies that people like dedicate their lives to like stopping.
Yeah, like, yeah, I see those on Facebook too. They're like, you know, back in my day, like my toys were playing outside.
Yeah.
And when it got dark, we just turned on flashlights. You know? So like that. And it's like, yes, I do understand that. Yes, we were more active back then. But 10% of us didn't make it to adulthood.
Yeah. Okay.
Like those fucking baby turtles that got to crawl from the beach into the ocean, okay? But no one talks about the 10% except people that are personally connected to those, okay? So congrats. You lived. We don't have to fucking brag about it, okay? Because our generation, you know, not so many survived. So yes, nowadays people are a little more coddled and stuff, but more live. So you got to take that into account too. I should have fucking died so many times. My uncle, who was our uncle, Tommy, who was only a couple years older than me, we all went to the beach, and he took me out to like a sandbar in the water, and he's like, all right, stay here. We're like fucking 50 yards from the beach. He's like, stay right here on the sandbar, and you'll be fine. I'm going to go back. And of course, there's waves, and it's slowly pushing me off the sandbar until finally I put my hand in the air and shook it, and then my fucking head went underwater, and only my hand was above the water.
Oh, my God.
And then right before I drowned, he grabbed me by the hand and pulled me back up.
Yeah, that side of the family we don't really talk to anymore.
How fucking was that sandbar? You know, I was like 8, couldn't speak. You know, it left me on a sandbar. Where was Mom and Dad? I don't even remember.
All banging.
I know. They're probably like behind a sand dune. They left their stupid uncle in charge. Almost fucking drowned.
Oh, man.
Like, I could just see our dad being like, hey, Tommy, just bring him back alive.
Yeah. I was like, who would do? I mean, we are so far out there. Hey, just stay on the sandbar. I'm going to leave now. You stay here. Now that I think back on it, I don't quite understand the reasoning why I had to stay there out in the ocean.
Oh, man.
But, you know, whatever. It's fun.
I can see him backing on some chicks. You know, a friend of mine who has, like, I think, like, a 6 or 7-year-old daughter said to him, like, a couple weeks ago, Daddy, I understand you did not have technology when you were a child, but I need my iPhone.
Oh, man.
And I think, like, yeah, man, if we had access to that in the 80s, dude, I would have been all over that all the time.
Here's a time when our younger brother Jared almost died as a baby because of our dad. And I've been harboring this guilt because for decades I thought I almost killed him. Mm-hmm. And now I realize our dad almost killed him.
I mean, ultimately they are responsible no matter what happens.
Exactly. I was a child, okay? I was the oldest of us, but still a child. So we always used to go on walks. We lived on a dead-end dirt road, and mm-hmm. we had to walk through some seasonal neighbors' property to get to Cattaraugus Creek. And then we'd go skip stones in the creek and do other sorts of stupid shit.
Right. And by seasonal, you mean the trailer parks that are mostly empty except for the summertime.
Yeah, well, I tried to say it in a nicer way. But
Trailer parks!
So, anyways, but there was some cows that were also on our road. Mm-hmm. And as we were walking by once, there was a cow that was in distress.
Uh-oh.
It was inside the fence, and it had a rope around its neck, and it kind of got all tangled and twined and shit like that. And so Dad was, me and you were walking with him, and Jared was in a fucking baby carrier.
Oh, God.
So he's less than a year old. He's a baby. He's a baby carrier.
Oh, no.
So Dad takes us all inside the cow pasture.
What?
All of us.
Oh, my dad, what were you? You weren't thinking. You were like, here, I'm going to help the cow at the expense of my children's lives.
I'll go in there. He takes the baby carrier and sets it on the ground. It says, Eric, you have to watch the baby carrier. You have to watch your baby Jared, okay? If the cow does something weird, you got to do something about it.
Oh, my God.
So then he goes over to like untangle the rope that the cow's tangled all around, you know, and try not to spook this cow.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sitting there watching Jared for the longest time, and finally I just get bored. So I'm just kind of like looking around, watching the cow. Of course, the cow gets fucking spooked while he's untangling the rope, charges straight for the baby carrier.
Oh my God.
Straight for the baby carrier. And I froze up, you know, because I'm like 11. I'm like, so Jared's dead in like a second. But Dad took his leg and like wrapped it around the rope that the cow was charging on real fast, and it shortened the rope. And so the cow basically reached the end of the rope and was like, ugh! And Dad basically broke his leg. Because I was looking at him now. And like he's like, ugh! He's like lying on the ground with the rope like tightened around his leg. But it stopped the cow from charging.
Oh, my God.
Just short Jared. And he goes to me, what did you do? You almost killed your brother. And for decades, I was like, I almost killed our brother.
Oh,
it's my fault. I should have been watching the baby carrier inside the cow pasture when our dad tried to unwrap the wild animal. And I always thought for the longest time, I almost killed Jared. And now I'm thinking about it. I was like, what the fuck? My fault?
No, he was pissed. He was pissed that he hurt himself and that he put you in a dumb situation. And so he blamed it on you.
And the baby would have died if he hadn't. I was going to say quick thinking at that point, at least, to wrap his leg around there and stuff. I mean, like, so many things could have gone wrong.
Oh,
he should have left
God.
Us all out of the cow pasture and said, watch your brother here while he went in to do it.
I mean, the cow would have gotten Jared and then killed me and you next.
Yeah, probably. So, but yeah, so then, that's an example of when Jared should have died.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and guess what? We were not, like, the better for that. Like, people growing up, they'd be like, you know, like, we had it better back in the day with, like, a baseball field and, like, fighting was, like, our thing instead of playing on these newfangled iPads.
Yeah.
Oh, my. I can't believe that happened. I have no memory of that. Zero memory.
I harbored so much guilt over that. Like, it's
my
fault.
God.
Our baby brother's almost dead because I wasn't watching for the cow. It's not so stupid now, but back then I was like, oh, it's all my fault.
Oh my God. Well, there was that one time where, you know, the 80s were a different time and we didn't wear seatbelts all the time. Mm-hmm. And and I was in the, like, we were in the back. I have no memory of this, of course.
Oh, yeah.
But I was in the back seat of a car, and we got into a car accident.
Yeah, our parents wanted us to be comfortable instead of safe. So we had this big van, and in the back, he like built this wooden contraption where it was basically like a bed. Mm-hmm. And then he put a chair on the side of the van. The chair is not bolted down, strapped down. There's no seatbelts on it. But it's fun because you can sit on the chair while other people lay in the back. No seatbelts in this van. Yeah, and he totally didn't. And our dad was driving, and he didn't see a stop sign hitting me on some bushes. So we had to take a fucking hard right. And some hubcaps popped off, and my face, I guess the rest of my body too, went flying from the chair that was not bolted down across the van and smash into the metal side. Blood everywhere.
Dude, and he said he found me with my face in the back of the seat or something like that, and he was real scared that I was dead, but then he figured I probably was asleep, and I think I was.
Yeah.
So. And I mean, I can't count the number of times that he put us all in the back of the pickup truck to drive us home from like soccer games and stuff.
Yeah, that was fun.
And I thought it was hilarious because he would like, you know, go like 70 down the dirt road and like slam to the left, slam to the right. We're all like slamming into each other in the back, giggling. And our mom's like, Mel, you're going to kill them. I side with our mom now because yeah. I met a guy in college, my worst roommate ever, who got a plate in his head and couldn't play football anymore because he did the same thing and he fell out of the pickup truck and smashed his head in.
Here's the and here's another point too. Would you say as a child, you probably weighed the comparable amount of weight to like a small grill?
Yes,
like a grill that like an outdoor grill you grill burgers and hot dogs on. You'd say you probably weigh about the same amount as a grill, right?
Yeah, I mean you could lift either one.
Yeah. So back in the day, Dad lost 3 grills out the back of that same pickup truck, 3 times, going on the same roads that we were on. He fucking lost the grill out the back. 3 fucking times the grill smashed all over, charcoal all over the road and stuff. Of course, we're the same size as the grill. We're the same weight as the grill. But it's okay for us to ride in the back because we laid down a little bit more than a grill could. But he fucking lost 2 times. He lost the grills on the hill on Beach Street Road and stuff. But he kept,
are you serious? He never learned his lesson. Yeah. When I was with him, our sister had just moved down to Florida. And he thought it'd be a great idea because we were both down there to buy her like a barbecue grill as a present. So we go to like the Lowe's or Home Depot, and you know he haggles him for something, and like we get it. He puts the bat in the back of the truck, and he's like, "What do you think?" In the back of his pickup truck, I'm like, "Do you need to tie that down?" He's like, "Nah, it's okay." And so go figure. We're doing 55 down the highway, and all of a sudden we're just boom because the wind picked up the grill and slammed it over, and a piece of the grill, like the side thing. Yeah, like where you put like dishes and stuff on the side of the grill, snapped off and flew behind us. And there's a ton of cars, and it went like towards the windshield of this SUV right behind us, and then like a Japanese knuckleball went like cha cha like down underneath the tire, blew out the I don't know like $100 or $400 tire. It's really expensive. Blew out the tire of the car doing 55 right behind us. Yeah, I mean they could have died.
I'm telling you, though, he kept losing those grills, but he kept putting those kids in the back. And I remember one time, too, you know, like you can open that little window that goes from the cab of the pickup, and then you can, like, talk to the people who are in the back laying down illegally.
Yes.
We were driving once, and they knew it was illegal because a cop was coming, and they opened the window and threw a blanket in the back and said, "Quick, cover yourselves. There's cops coming." So they knew they shouldn't be doing this.
Oh, my God.
Like, and so we all fucking put a blanket over ourselves and hid under the blanket as the cop that probably would have saved our lives drove by.
Saved him unaware. Some ways, but yeah. I mean, and you know, and I have to say, for anybody who doesn't know, like, our dad grew up dirt poor. He was, a lot of this is like, he grew up in a poor neighborhood, a poor part of town, where he was like the 6th kid out of his family. And like it was like everybody's talking about like, "Oh man, when I was a kid I had 2 sticks to bang together and some rocks and we liked it." I mean, that's literally what they had. You know? Yeah.
So kind of sum this up, and we've got plenty of stories where we probably should have died. We're definitely 2 lucky people because I've got all the ones I can spill on too. But yeah. So it's okay that people are a little bit safer now. You don't have to, there is a wussification of America when it comes to like gym sports. You know, some schools are banning the game of tag now, which is ridiculous.
I mean, you know, in dodgeball, nobody wants to get hit in the face with a dodgeball. That's
just how it is, man. You just, as long as you're not the one that gets hit in the face, it's fun.
You know, exactly. It's like a lot of girls, actually every single girl, except for maybe like one, hated dodgeball because they'd always get hit. They'd be like, I don't like getting hit. And all the boys would be like, give me that dodgeball. Because we are the hitters and you are the hit-ees.
If you don't want to get hit, just hang back near the wall. It's hard to throw that far. Mm. You got plenty of time to dodge.
Yeah, just catch.
So anyways, in honor of Mother's Day, I guess that was part one. Although it just kind of, I think it kind of turned towards more towards dad.
I want to say in honor of Mother's Day, you know, I agree more and more and more now that I'm a father with our mother. And every time when I was a kid, and I would kind of like snicker at her, be like, "No, you're going to kill them." Now I'm like, she was right. Mama like, was right.
I like personally taking risks myself. Mm. You know, like when I asked you, when I sat in that wheelchair and asked you to push me down that long flight of stairs, that was fun. You know, because it was my own life that was being
right,
missed.
Right.
Know,
when you fell backwards and smashed your head on the bottom step, you know, that was your own choice.
It was funny. It was funny. But, you know, I don't want to risk other people's lives as much. But although I don't want to get into any of those. But so I did have a Mother's Day tribute in mind. Okay. It doesn't involve sex. And
good, because I can't. It's still in my brain.
Yes. This is like a small topic, since we should do a topic. And I just wanted to throw this open to you. I wanted to talk about the coolest moms you ever saw in the movies.
Okay.
Coolest movie moms. I do have a top five, so see, I can kind of I can give you a couple while you think about it.
Immediately I think, oh man, I have like a top 10 of like worst movie moms because it's so easy.
Well, no, that's the thing. Coolest doesn't mean the best. I mean the most enjoyable.
Okay.
So that they could be a bad mom in the movie, and that's why you liked them. I'm not talking about like, you know, really nice, boring. I'm just talking about, maybe I should say memorable movie moms.
I'm just going to look up top 10 movie MILFs, and maybe those will correspond.
Well, I mean, like, I think, you know, I mean, first of all, there's, like, the mom in Back to the Future.
Right? Who accidentally almost slept with her kid.
Right, but she was fun.
Time travel.
She was cool. She was cool back in the 50s. There was, I mean, you have to go with Linda Hamilton in Terminator 2.
Well, I mean, she happened to be a mother, but she was like an ass kicker. I mean, she was brutal.
Right, and so like she wasn't a good mom because she got thrown in an insane asylum and her son was taken away from her. But she was very memorable and she was cool.
Right.
And, you know, that's a badass mom you want fighting for you. You probably don't want that to be your mom, but she was a cool mom to enjoy.
Well, yeah, I mean, like the kid was like, the kid was all messed up because he's like, yeah, my mom is a psycho and she believes that robots in the future have impregnated her and or are coming to kill her. Great.
Yeah. That guy, Edward Furlong, he kind of was messed up in real life too. Maybe if his movie mom had been better.
Oh my God. Let's not talk about like stage moms.
Oh yeah. So Linda Hamilton got to be one of the coolest movie moms of all time.
Awesome. Yeah, absolutely.
As far as like, you know, or, this is a cartoon, but Elastigirl in The Incredibles.
Yo, she had junk in the trunk, man.
Yeah.
There was the part where her butt got stuck.
In the doors.
In the secret lair, and she's like, yeah.
So, Elastigirl, cool movie mom. She was always punching people out and stuff. I enjoyed that.
She was great, and she was a good mom to her kids, too. Like, she could kick butt, and she could be a good mom, too.
Yeah.
Although at some point, just like our dad, she's like, "Make a force field around the ship. We're going to die."
Yeah, she did. She did put her children into danger.
Yeah, and she kind of apologized later. I'm still waiting on that apology from dad. It's not going to happen. You probably say like, "Oh, you had fun. Come on."
Here's one who didn't find out she was a mom at first, but Uma Thurman in Kill Bill.
Okay.
She eventually she finds out. Well, she doesn't find out until the second movie that she's a mom.
Right, until the boring one.
Yeah, but then, I mean, she was still... So technically, she's a mom when she was kicking butt.
I mean, technically, she had her baby while she was a coma. That's
weird. And she did, like the five-fingered death punch or whatever the fuck it was.
Yeah, the five...
The seven-step exploding heart trick, or what was it?
The lame-ass waste of an excuse of fight with David Carradine. I mean, it's David effing Carradine. He can fight. He fought in a deleted scene against, what's his name? God damn it. Anyway, look it up on YouTube. It's awesome. They could have used him, and instead it was this lame speech about Superman, and then he dies in, like, one hit. Lame. No,
it was something like, you can only take so many steps, and then your heart explodes. Like, it was 7 steps or 5 or yeah, something. So that was kind of cool. You watched him kind of stumble, and you, like, counted it, and then...
Yeah, but, like, dude, they could have done that after a kick-ass fight scene. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was waste.
Well, Quentin Tarantino likes talking more than action, so...
Yeah, he does. It's classic Tarantino. Talk about nothing for way too long and then sudden violence.
Yeah. Inglourious Bastards. Brad Pitt gives a speech. You guys all owe me this many Nazi scalps. Of course, we're never going to see you get any Nazi scalps except for maybe like 2 by the end of the movie. I want to be like, Quentin Tarantino, you owe me Nazi scalps. Because I didn't see any. We just saw like a couple scenes and he killed Hitler at the end, which is cool. But I thought they were going to be like... I thought it was going to be like Expendables almost, like just destroying Nazis. So maybe I guess that's my own fault for having the wrong expectations. But
The Expendables. The Expendables.
Here's my top 2 movie moms. Right. Jodie Foster, basically in anything, but Jodie Foster in Panic Room.
Okay.
Did you see Panic Room?
I saw the trailer and I saw the MTV Video Awards parody.
Panic Room was pretty good, even though it had Jared Leto in it, who I can't stand now, but Jared Leto was good in it. And so she's protecting her daughter, a young Kristen Stewart.
Oh, wow.
Pre-Twilight.
Okay.
Who's actually pretty good in the movie. And then Forest Whitaker with his one weird eye.
It's Forest Whitaker, man. You just can't, you know, you can't compete with that eye.
Yeah, but I mean, this is pretty good. So, like, you know, there's crooks in their house, and she goes into the panic room, and Jodie Foster does a pretty good job of the mama bear protecting her cub. I guess you could also say Jodie Foster in Flight Plan, when she's flying on the airplane, and she wakes up, and her daughter's gone, and everyone tries to convince her she'd never had one on the plane.
Oh, weird.
They're like, no, you were flying by yourself. And she's like, what the fuck? And, like, everyone's in on it kind of deal.
Oh, wild.
And they're like, no, what are you talking about? You don't have a kid.
That's so like this classic story that Hitchcock adapted called, it's called like the Lady in Waiting or something. Yeah, it's about like, it takes place in a hotel room in Paris. It's the same premise except like this. Oh, no, it's called The Lady Vanishes. Anyway.
And then my top movie mom of all time.
Wait. Can I give you mine?
Oh, sure, yeah, go.
I'm just going to jump in and say my top movie mom of all time is the Queen from 300.
Queen from 300.
Yeah, dude. The This Is Sparta movie where, like, before he executes the messenger at the very beginning of the movie, he looks over to get permission from his wife. That's the movie mom. And she's like, she'll do anything for her country. She'll sleep with a senator. But if you double-cross her, she will effing stab you in the gut in the middle of everybody and be like, I own this place.
Yeah, because she does, like, take one for the team and give up the butt sex for the guy.
Right.
And he's like, you will not like this, but something. And then she takes the same line and gives it back to him when she stabs him later.
Yeah, she's like, this is going to hurt you more than it hurts me. Sucker. Yeah, and she's just like... hardcore, and she's like a cool mom too. Like she notices him. Like, all right, you're gonna mack on my son and make me feel a little uncomfortable. I'm gonna fucking get you later.
Yeah, she's like, I'm gonna miss my husband, but you know, it's pretty cool death, so it's worth it.
She's awesome.
Okay, that was good. I like that. Your top one is not gonna beat mine though.
Let me think about this. I mean, like, there's I didn't like the movie, but like, The monster's mother from Beowulf.
Oh my god, Beowulf.
Angelina Jolie as the golden mermaid monster.
That's such a terrible movie. I still can't watch it from that rotoscoping bullshit. It sucks.
There was no reason for it. It was terrible.
They should have just done regular movie.
Well, the whole thing was so they could get this squat, 4 foot nothing Shakespearean trained actor to look like a 6 foot tall Viking. I mean, that was like the one justification.
Terrible movie.
Yeah, and she lives. He doesn't even kill her. She sleeps with him, and that's it.
she takes him at the end. Doesn't he? Don't they release his dead body into the ocean, and she's in the ocean, she snags the dead body?
Yep, and she's like, guess what? I'm going to sleep with the next king of Heorot 2 and then produce a monster-ass son. And if his sperm is any good, he'll turn into a dragon.
Yeah.
Ugh. But, I mean, I guess, like, cool, she lived. She didn't get killed.
What else you got for movie moms?
I just kind of sprung this on. Oh, no, no, I got it. Mrs. Brisby from the Rats of Nim. Dude, she survived horrifying encounters with, like, the huge owl that kills everybody and, like, the rats. And, like, she's just, like, a regular mom who just wants to heal her sick kid. And, like, that movie is scary as hell. And she, like, does it all so she can save her little sick kid, Timmy. And she's got balls the size of, I don't know, the planet Earth.
And the rest of her family, because it's almost moving day when the farmer's going to kill them all.
That's right. And she's all of a sudden in the end, she's like the freaking chosen one with the medallion, and she gets like superpowers.
Well, I mean, and she knew nothing about anything. Like, you'd think her husband could have at least told her what his day job was. Like, she knew nothing about the Rats of Nim. Nothing.
Yep, and she shows up and she's like, everybody's calling me Mrs. Jonathan Brisby and bowing and shit. What the hell?
Yeah,
you know, but she takes it all pretty well.
Yeah, she's like, oh, so my husband was always in charge of drugging the cat, who was very evil. And that cat talks. You're like, shit.
Everything about that movie is scary as hell, and she's at the center of it, and she saves everybody. I mean, not Nicodemus, but, you know, politics.
I'll have to say that's pretty darn close to getting to my ultimate movie mom. I did not think you would come that close to me.
Wow.
All right. My pick. So I give you respect for that one. You still can't beat mine, but that was... you scared me for a second there. You got close.
All right. I want to hear who could possibly be better than Mrs. Brisby.
All right. Here we go. Get ready to agree with me.
Okay.
Mama Fratelli from The Goonies.
Oh, okay.
Boom, fucking kid. Mama Fratelli. I mean, that's the greatest mom of all time. She busts her son out of jail,
mm-hmm.
gets in an SUV chase.
True, and she's hardcore about the whole thing.
And she has no problem slapping them in the face or pulling a gun on them.
She's ready to murder those kids.
Yeah, she's ready to murder kids. She's ready to put their hands in blenders.
Oh, yeah.
And if your son turns out a little weird, she'll chain him up in the basement.
You know, like you do.
She was the cool... That's the most memorable movie mom of all time, is Mama Fratelli from The Goonies.
I think if all the moms we mentioned had, like, a fight, I think she would definitely come out on top. I mean, she, yeah. You don't want to get anywhere near her.
Yeah, and she chased down kids. Let's face it. That body should not have been going down underground, but she sacked up. I mean, she snorted as she ran down.
I mean, she killed, or somebody killed, the Fed that they locked up in the ice cream freezer.
I'm going to assume she shot both of them.
Yeah, shot him right in the head.
Shot two of them. Two of them died.
And, like, you know, the other Fratelli brothers, you know, they're kind of goofy. Mm-hmm. You know, they're kind of comic relief. She's, like, the one in charge.
Yeah, she's nothing without them. So, yeah. And one of the greatest lines of all time, when she kicks him out of the restaurant,
kids suck.
So I think Mama Fratelli is the greatest movie mom of all time.
Okay, all right.
I mean, how can you? I mean, she just fucking makes that movie.
I think they're all winners.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we should have people on our Facebook page if they give a shit. If they have a pretty cool, memorable movie mom, they should let us know. Like I said, it doesn't have to be a good mom, because we're not really outlining all good moms, but just memorable or cool for some reason. I'd love to hear what they come up with.
I mean, you know, there's like Independence Day, the mom who was like a stripper who lives with her dog through the movie. I mean, she's okay.
That's true. Yeah. Anytime you're a mom and you're a stripper in a movie, that gives you some points.
Right. I mean, like you can be a stripper and a good mom at the same time.
I mean, and We're the Millers, Jennifer Aniston pretends to be a mom to the two kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then towards the end, she starts acting like it. That's pretty close.
Mm. They were all the moms in the Wicker Man.
I think we need more of like a one.
There was like, well, I guess it was like Nick Cage's ex-girlfriend who had the baby without him knowing, who lured him to the island, but whatever.
Yeah, I think you need to be a little more main character, mom.
Yeah.
So, happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Gotta make sure our mom doesn't listen to this episode.
No, she probably agree with us.
Do not post this on your regular page.
Wait, did mom ever figure out that Jared almost got killed by that cow? Does she know?
She wasn't on that walk.
He probably didn't tell her.
Probably not. You know, here's the thing. I've tried to tell them about pieces of our childhood that I, like, not vaguely remember, but, like, super remember for some reason, mm-hmm. and they always laugh them off. They're like, you were nine. You don't remember shit. That's not what happened, or that never happened. Mm-hmm. So they'll just deny everything. So it's not even worth bringing it up to them because they either don't remember because they're old or blotted that memory out because it was scary. Or, like I said, they'll just destroy your credibility.
Yep. You're a child.
And they'll make you doubt yourself after a while. You're like, oh, shit, did that happen? You know, and you're like, yes, it did fucking happen. I remember this. Clearly. I got the details. But.
Yeah. Well, dude, I just watched March of the Penguins the other day. Speaking of, like, babies in danger.
Oh, that sucks.
It's brutal. I was expecting, like, cute baby animals. Instead, it was, like, every 5 seconds, we're going to kill a penguin on screen. And then, like, in between the deaths, they're like, oh, it's so cute, and it's dead.
Yeah, I didn't watch that bullshit.
Oh, my God. I thought it was going to be happy. Instead, Morgan Freeman's like, the penguin's life sucks ass. The end.
Only penguins I like are the ones in Madagascar.
Right? They're awesome. They're hilarious. Their babies don't get murdered by seagulls.
Yeah, they just slap each other around. It's awesome.
Ugh.
Penguin slap fight.
We paused the movie at one point to we picked it up the next day, and I unfroze it again. Like, I'm like, all right, where were we? Oh, right on the dead baby carcass shot. Great.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Fuck that noise. I had a couple thunder dumps.
Dump it.
So this was cool. I mean, in the midst of all the TV shows being massacred and canceled this week, including some of my favorites, Almost Human was like a prequel to Judge Dredd. Community was such a funny show.
Right. Well, there's maybe a movie.
Well, if they can, cool. I mean, the way they ended season 5, it was a pretty good ending, but I'm still sad that it's over. Mm. A lot of shows get massacred, but then the upfronts are coming. They're announcing the new shows. And Adult Swim on Cartoon Network announced that there's going to be this new show where it's basically Jack McBray, the simple guy that was on Tina Fey's show 30 Rock for a long time.
Okay.
He got blonde hair. Anyways, Jack McBray and Triumph the Insult Comic Dog.
Mm.
Are going to be on a show together. Basically, the two of them were on a show that was basically like Lassie.
Mm-hmm.
And now this show picks up 15 years later when they finally come and they hang out together. 15 years after they did like a classic Lassie show.
Hmm.
So I think that's going to be hilarious.
Okay.
I mean, just they had me at Triumph.
Yeah, anything with Triumph is usually good.
Yeah. So I think that'll be kind of good.
Okay.
And then my other thunder dump, I just posted this on our Jumpman Facebook page, was, you know, we've always talked about the Star Wars prequels, and we've always talked about if we could redo them or what would we do, we would, like, cancel Phantom Menace or we'd change the characters and stuff.
Right.
And a long time ago, Topher Grace, the actor, he came up with his own supercut and turned it into one awesome movie, and he let a bunch of Hollywood people watch it, but he refused to ever put it on tape.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Did he put it on the internet?
No.
Okay.
Still no. But someone else was inspired by what he did, and they actually took the prequels and mashed them into one 2-hour-and-45-minute movie and did put it on the internet like 2 days ago on, was it Vimeo?
Yeah.
And so I saw this article on AV Club, and they were talking about it, and they had a link, and it was right there, and they're like, download it now because you know it's going to get taken off the internet. I clicked, and it was already taken off.
Wow.
We need somebody to find it. If they already put it on Vimeo, it's going to be somewhere, or someone else already downloaded it. Go find this new Star Wars supercut. It's on our Facebook page, so I forget. It's like, you know, it's like Star Wars something, like something.
Turn to the Dark Side.
Star Wars Turn to the Dark Side. They take all three prequels and smash it into one 2-hour-and-45-minute movie, and supposedly it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like, took the prequels and actually made them cool one big movie. So please, somebody find this and send it to us. Some kind of link that we can download, because I want to see it. I want to see it. I want to download it, you know, so I can just watch that and say, yes, that is, you know, if you could make the prequels good, you know, I appreciate it.
In the time that it took for you to describe that, I have found it on...
You found it?
Yeah, it's on the Pirate Bay.
Oh,
of course.
Well, download that shit and send it to me.
Of course.
Yeah.
Oh, look, it's like let's see. There's 100. There's one that's 800 megs. Another one that's like 500 megs.
Okay.
You just have to figure out how torrents work, and then there's this whole world of sharing that's happening.
Well, see, that's why on our Facebook page I said attention nerds, because I need someone else smarter than me to do it for me. So put it on your server or something so we can watch this before it goes away. I need to see this, but you know, my time is limited at points.
Word.
So we need to watch this and review it.
If they're gonna recut it, they might as well like redo Yoda too, because that's something that I felt like they screwed up Yoda to the point where he's unrecognizable. Can somebody just get like one of those Yoda puppets from like Burger King and like redo his lines?
Well, he was a puppet in the first in Phantom Menace, and then they went all digital the next two.
Yeah, but he looked terrible in the Phantom Menace, you know.
Yeah, no, he did. So yeah, so I'm excited for this. So download that shit for us, so we can watch this at our leisure. And hey, if they made the prequels cool, that'd be great. It's what we've always wanted. So we can just watch this and that, you know. When our kids get older, we can be like, yo, and just show them that as the prequels instead of the actual movies.
That's true. I mean, or they could just watch the Clone Wars. I mean, like, I hear they're really cool, and, you know, kids are really into it.
Clone Wars was up and down. Some of the episodes and arcs were really good, and some were just really bad. So, mm-hmm. Like, that last season that just came out on, like, Netflix or whatever.
Yeah.
There was, like, 13 episodes, and 4 of them were really good, and the rest sucked ass hard. But there were some really good ones. They explained Order 66 better. Mm-hmm. It made a lot more sense as to why the clone and troopers turn on them and stuff. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, sorry. I need to see that movie, so please download it for me.
God, you just need to... Man, it's like... I know sometimes it's like it's easier just to like wait for whatever the current like technology or console is to die out so you can just jump on the next one. But like torrents are not going away, dude.
I know, but I need this.
I will download the torrent on, like, and then put it on a server someplace, and then you can download that, so you don't have to...
Thank you.
God.
Thank you. I would appreciate that. Hey, we faced death together as children, okay? Come on, man. We held on for dear life instead of rolling out the back of our dad's pickup, okay?
Oh,
like many grills. The best part was he would tell us to hold on to the grill.
Yep.
Like, if the grill rolls out, it's your fault. Don't let go of it. I'd be like, are you serious? Do that with Christmas trees too. Throw the Christmas tree in the back. Don't let the tree fall.
Yep.
Well, like, what trees are you gonna going. Do? Tree's going. Can I like? No. Don't let the tree go. All right. I would rather die than let our dad down. So.
All right. Let's see. I was just checking out the trailer for Constantine, but jury's still out. Constantine TV show.
Tell me when the Daredevil TV show comes out.
Or I will.
The trailer's out, because I'm excited for that one.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, like that could be actually cool. But yeah. What I'm really, like, I'm spending every single day thinking about now is the end of the month where Mario Kart 8 comes out.
Yeah, like, you fucking getting that?
Oh, absolutely, dude. Well, you know what's really funny was I saw a post on my friend Joe Cam's Facebook page saying, he was like, son of a bitch, only people in New York City can get the console bundle. And I was like, what? And so there wasn't much information on it online, but it's basically like Nintendo World, the store in Rockefeller Center, the only ones getting this console bundle where you get like the console and the game. I was like, what? Seriously? Okay, wow. And so that day, I ran out there with my baby in tow, and when I got there, the guy was really confused, and he's like, you just want the console and the game bundle, right? I'm like, yes. Yeah, you don't want the game by itself, right? I'm like, no. And he's like, because there's this whole thing on Facebook that's really confusing, and everybody thinks you can get this exclusive Blue Shell pre-order thing if you do the console. I'm like, no, I don't even know about that. So I get home, and that's actually what people were talking about, was like getting the game with this blue shell attached as this limited edition that they're only doing there. I don't really care about it. So I'll be like the only person waiting in line at the midnight release at the end of the month, not getting that. I just want the console because I don't have it yet. The Wii U and mm-hmm. the game. You know, it's like it's all I want. You know, I just want to play the game. I don't need this little blue shell thing.
Right.
You know, like this commemorative item that's just going to take up space on the shelf. Don't care. Already have a giant trophy.
Yep.
And I learned that my neighbor, my downstairs neighbor, who I don't hang out with much, I heard the sounds of Mario Kart Wii happening through his door. And I was like, oh my God, that's it. So I had to knock on his door, and his roommate there was there, and I was like, you tell him I will destroy him anytime he wants. Because she was like, I was like, do you want some serious competition? She's like, I don't really play, but my roommate does. I'm like, you tell him. I would kick his ass, and I have a trophy upstairs.
So he gets back home, and he's like, hey, how was your day? Oh, some psycho knocked on the door. He's been spying on us, and he wants to destroy you at Mario Kart.
Pretty much, and if he can sack up, he'll be knocking on my door, being like, let's go, and, you know, bring out his power glove that he can use to, like, play the game. I don't know.
When he does knock on your door, I mean, he won't, but if he does, you need to just be wearing, like, white pants, no shirt, and a headband.
Yes.
You need to be sitting in some kind of yoga pose on the floor and be like, enter. Light a couple candles. Strike a gong as he walks in. Just see if he can get in his mind.
I need a bunch of buff dudes, like the Mortal Kombat movie, to be around with, like, turbans and, like, yoga pants.
Yeah.
You know, just like waiting for him to come in.
you need Sonya Blade chained to the wall.
Yes.
let me go. No. I challenge this guy.
That's right.
To Ultimate Mario Kart.
No, I was just so surprised, man. That's like, here's my roommate, not roommate, neighbor. He's lived downstairs for at least 2 or 3 years, and I had no idea that he, and his roommate said, yeah, he's pretty good. He's really into it. So I had no idea. And that's like, you know, it's a favorite game.
Yeah.
So I'm super pumped. Like, I'm looking at the receipt, like my pre-order receipt every day, just thinking like, oh my God, it's going to be, I've stopped watching trailers. I'm not going to look at the FAQs, nothing. I just can't wait to play it and experience it, you know, without knowing anything.
Yeah. And our brother Jared has a Wii U. So I was like, dude, get it. Get that game. Come to my house.
Get that game. And you know what? What I did read was that you can play against other people online, and you can set up tournaments to play against other people online, too.
Wow.
So the last Mario Kart, you could kind of play like a single race against random opponents.
Mm-hmm.
You could play like a circuit against people, and that's it.
Right.
So there's going to be some more done with that. I hope I can play you guys directly.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah. But you know I'm gonna be taking at least an hour out of every single day until it's go time.
See, and that was funny because when I told Jared that you got it, he was like, "Oh, this sucks." Now Chad's just gonna like fucking play the shit out of it and master it, and then we won't have any chance of beating him.
I thought about that too. I was like, maybe it would be more fair if I let Jared and Eric get really good at it, and then I'd have like a couple days to get good at it. But then I was like, but this is like my favorite game. I love this game. I got to play it.
Yeah.
So I think our enthusiasm is riding high, and I don't know. I hope that me being good at a game doesn't make everybody else be like, well, fuck it.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. I'm excited to play. It'll be fun.
Okay.
So I'm excited to see all the new characters and the new weapons and shit.
Dude.
And just new courses. It'll be fun.
I mean, all the Koopa kids. All of them.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be awesome.
I heard there's some cool new weapons, too, so that'll be exciting.
Right.
So.
And there's that, you remember when Crash Bandicoot's CTR, Crash Team Racing, got a sequel?
Yeah, Nitro Kart.
Yeah, and there was, I swear, they ripped the track straight out of Nitro Kart into Mario Kart 8, where there was one part where you went straight up the wall. And I think like the course is reversed for Mario Kart 8, but it's like the exact same concept.
Supposedly, Crash Team Racing came out with the third one like in 2010, and we didn't even know about it.
No, I saw I saw a trailer for it, and I was like, wow. I don't know if I want to play it, but wow, that's interesting.
Not the double one, though. The double one was terrible.
Yes, it wasn't very good.
Like, we did try that one, but supposedly there was just a third one we didn't even know about.
Yeah, and it's just one of those things where, like, that license got passed around to Vivendi, and Vivendi sucked. Mm-hmm. Sorry with those games. I like what they did with the regular Crash Bandicoot, like, when they kind of rebooted him. Before mm-hmm. the game before Crash of the Titans was all right, and gotcha. Crash of the Titans was just like it was like the new Golden Axe was like, well, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
yeah, I gotta go watch Game of Thrones.
Right.
To watch people get killed and see some titties.
Yeah, spoiler alert: everybody dies. Everybody that you care about dies. That's the end of the spoilers.
It's not even a spoiler because when HBO did their. The preview for season 4, mm-hmm. the catchphrase was "all men must die." So
there it is, and some of the ladies too.
So it's not even a spoiler. So
yeah, well, everybody, thanks for listening. We appreciate our fans. Thank you, maniacs, for listening every single week. We're the Jumpman Podcast. You can check us out all over the web. We're also on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. And I learned that if you leave us a review on iTunes, that our rating. Or not a rating, but our visibility goes up. So, if you want to be a dear on this Mother's Day, and give us a review at iTunes. I know it's a pain in the ass. Or maybe it's just easy as hell, and I've just I had no idea. Please do. And if you had a favorite movie mom of all time, please drop it on our Facebook page, Jumpman Podcast.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Peace. Jumpman Engage. Yeah!